Well, you guys, I'm so excited to continue our series called The Elements. And we've been talking about the four elements that were really the foundation of Element Church. And really, we believe the foundational elements of the Christian life. And so in week one, we talked about being loved by God. In week two, we talked about being liberated by Scripture. And for week one, loved by God, we have this little tag here. Just I'm catching you guys up, giving you some context if you weren't here. Christianity is not simply a religion, but rather a personal relationship with a God who loves you. You are loved by God, and that changes everything. And then the second week we talked about liberated by truth. We are not liberated as individuals by charting our own course, but by transforming to God's will as revealed in the Bible. And you can go back and listen to those on our app. You can go back and listen to those on our YouTube page. Today, I want to talk about element number three, which is listening and surrender. And the idea is that the causative factor of supernatural living is daily walking with the Holy Spirit in a posture of prayerful surrender. We'll talk about that today. And then element number four, which we'll talk about next week, is actually living on mission. As humble servant leaders, we build relational bridges across cultures, and we humbly carry God's power and joyfully work to see his kingdom come. So those are the elements: loved by God, liberated by Scripture, listening in surrender, and living on mission. And I wanted to just for a second, point out something that you may have missed, and maybe it's not obvious to you, is that the first two are past tense, and then the second two are actually active tense. I'm not sure, I'm not an English teacher, so I'm not sure that's the right way to say that. But we are loved by God. That's done. Jesus did that on the cross. He demonstrated that on the cross. That's a done deal. We can't change that. We can only respond to it or not respond to it. And then we're liberated by Scripture. God has given us his truth. And then we are actually in an active journey of being liberated, but the work that needs to be done is done by Jesus, that he came to testify to the truth. And we talked about that, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So there's an active part of that, but we're loved and we're liberated. And now we're listening and we're living. And so today, again, I want to talk to us about listening in surrender. Because when you listen in a posture of surrender to a supernatural God, you get a supernatural life. I'll say that again, but when you listen in a posture of surrender to a supernatural God, you live a supernatural life. And that's why we say the causative factor of supernatural living is daily walking with the Holy Spirit in a posture of prayerful surrender. Now, I want to start out and give you a little analogy to show how this works. You may not be someone who has worked in training horses. I actually have never worked in training horses, although I have spent some time around horses, and I've talked to people who've trained horses, and I've studied this a little bit. There's something called breaking a horse. Now, some people make a distinction between breaking a horse and training a horse, but for today's purposes, I'm just going to talk about breaking a horse the same as training a horse, okay? And the idea of breaking a horse is when, I'm actually going to read this to you, it's when a horse trainer works with a horse to get the horse to surrender to the training, okay? Horse training refers, this is by the way, off the Wikipedia page for horse training, okay? Horse training refers to a variety of practices that teach horses to perform certain behaviors when asked to do so by humans. Horses are trained to be manageable by humans for everyday care as well as equestrian activities, from horse racing to therapeutic horseback riding for people with disabilities. Historically, horses were trained for warfare. Today, they're trained for farm work, sport, transport. Today, most horse training is geared toward making horses useful for a variety of recreational activities. I want you to check this out. A variety of recreation activities and sporting equestrian pursuits. Horses are also trained for specialized jobs, from movie stunt work to police and crowd control activities, circus entertainment, and then check this out, equine-assisted psychotherapy. That's horse-assisted psychotherapy. That means humans that are hurting, they come out and they ride horses, they're around horses, and it helps them with their mental health. You guys, that's pretty crazy to think about, that a horse, when it is surrendered to its training, actually becomes something more than a horse. I'll say it like this: purpose changes when a horse is broken, when it's trained. See, a horse is like, I can run in the field and I can do whatever I want, and that's a horse. It's a wild horse. But when a horse is surrendered to a master, when it's trained and it's broken, a horse actually goes from I run free in the field to I carry kings. A horse goes from I frolic where I want to I help humans heal. And it's really interesting that surrender, that submitting to the training of a master actually is a portal to deeper purpose. It's actually a portal to new dreams. It's a portal to new activities. It all begins with being broken. It all begins with being surrendered, because surrender is a portal to something greater. It's a portal to greater purpose and greater destiny and greater function and greater benefits. And horses surrender to their masters and to their training, and they surrender a certain type of freedom, the freedom to be a wild horse, but they pick up a certain type of purpose. And for us, we say like this sometimes around Element Church, we say we give up things we love for things we love even more. Because we surrender our lives to God, and when we surrender to His leadership, you guys, that's what we say. The causative factor of supernatural living, of living a supernatural life, which we get to pick up when we surrender to Him, is daily walking with the Holy Spirit in a posture of prayerful surrender. It's like this. When we allow God to train us and to teach us, when we live lives that are surrendered and submitted, when we're broken before God, we actually don't just run in the field however we want, but we surrender to Him, to His training. We actually step through a portal into greater purpose, greater meaning, greater destiny. And it's beautiful. And we see this all through the Bible. Jesus calls His disciples. And Luke 5, 10 and 11, this is when Jesus is calling the sons of Zebedee. It says, "And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners." And Jesus calls Simon. And it says this, "Then Jesus said to Simon, 'Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people.'" Verse 11. "So they pulled their boats up on shore and left everything, and they followed Him." You see that? That they were fishermen before, and Jesus calls them. They pull their boats to shore. They leave everything, and they follow Him. They surrender to the master. They're broken. They're entering into training. And you know, it's interesting because in our culture, surrender can be like almost like a dirty word, because surrender makes us feel vulnerable. And as Americans and really as people, we don't like to feel vulnerable. We don't like to feel out of control. But the idea is that the value of surrender is surrender can be good or bad. The value of surrender is about what or who you surrender to. So if a horse surrenders to a wild animal is trying to eat it, that's a bad surrender. But if a horse surrenders to a good master who's training it for a greater purpose, that's a good surrender. And we know this for us, you guys, is that surrender to God is the best kind of surrender. And that's why we say that the third element of living a Christian life is to listen in surrender, to listen for God's Spirit in a posture of surrender. Because, you know, I will remind you, and maybe I don't need to remind you, but I will, that the Spirit of God actually lives in us. And I don't have time to teach all that today. I've taught on this before, but the idea is that God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit, actually dwells in us. So when we say listening in surrender, we don't just mean that God periodically, every once in a while, kind of pitches a word down to us. We mean this, that the Spirit of God is living and active on the inside of us, that we have the mind of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5 says, and that we actually walk actively with the Spirit of God inside of us, living and animating. This is really, really amazing. And so that's why we live in a posture of surrender. We listen and surrender because God's a speaking God, because the Spirit lives in us. And I've shared this before as well, but you know, the Bible starts with God speaking. By the third verse in the book of Genesis, we see, "And God said, let there be light." So the Bible begins with speaking. In the book of John, in the Gospels, right in the middle of the Bible, in the hinge point between the Old Testament and the New Testament, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Speaking about Jesus. Jesus is the Logos, the Word of God. Logos is the Greek term for Word. And He's the Word. So we have the Word in the beginning, God speaking. We have the Word in the middle in the Gospels with God incarnating His Word. And then in the book of Revelation, which we're actually soaping through right now together, we have God speaking to the churches, prophetically speaking to the seven churches. So the Bible starts with God speaking. In the middle, God is speaking and manifesting His Word. And at the end, God is speaking. We serve a speaking God. And God's Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit, dwells in us and speaks to us. John 10, 3 through 5 says this. It says, "The gatekeeper opens the gate for Him, and the sheep listen to His voice. He calls His own sheep by name and leads them out. When He's brought out all of His own, He goes out ahead of them, and His sheep follow Him because they know His voice." but they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. And you guys watched the video a few moments ago of the sheep. The sheep farm in Norway. And if you're watching this later on demand and you didn't get to see that, it was a video of a sheep farm. And there were several people that were challenged by the farmer to actually call the sheep in. And he told them the right words to say, and they said the words, but the sheep didn't come. And then the shepherd made the call, and all the sheep from all over the pasture ran in. It was absolutely an amazing video. But Proverbs 3:6 says this. It says, listen for God's voice in everything you do. Everywhere you go, he's the one who'll keep you on track. Listening in, surrender. We're invited to hear the shepherd's voice. I want to take you to a portion of scripture that shows us some of the things that actually pull us away from hearing God's voice, God's word. God sows his seed, his word. This is Luke 8:5-8, really a potent portion of scripture that helps us understand some of this. It says this, it says, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, which again, later Jesus tells us it's the word of God. The seed is the word. We're trying to hear and listen for his voice. It says, as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and it choked the plants. Still others fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than what was sown. When he said this, he called out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So we see four types of soil here. And really, Jesus explains the parable to his disciples, and he explains that the seed that the farmer's sowing is his word, and that the soil is actually the hearts of human beings, that the soil is actually us. It actually describes four different types of people, or more specifically, four types of soil receptivity, four types of hearts of how we receive God's word, how we're listening. So the first one is a polluted heart. It's a polluted posture. Luke 8:12 says, those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they may not believe and be saved. Now, there's a lot of things, there's a lot of pollutants, a lot of things that can pollute our heart. Really, I'll break it into two today. One is the things we do to ourselves, and the second one is things other people do to us. And the things we do to ourselves, we could call sin. Some of us have unrepentant sin. Some of us have addictions, things that we're carrying around. And it's hard for us to hear God's voice. It's hard for us to live listening in surrender because we're living our lives in such a way that we're like carrying around the weight of the world and we're carrying around sin. Dara McLean is an artist. She sang a song years ago that said, you can't run while you're holding suitcases. And I love that imagery of trying to run through an airport like with weighted suitcases in both hands. It's really difficult to run and to move and to live life that way. And for many of us, we're carrying around sin that we've never confessed to God. And the beautiful part of the Bible is it tells us that if we'll confess our sin to God, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, is 1 John 1:9. And so what we need to do is be honest with God, because if we're not, then God's word comes, but we're really kind of polluted. And it says that gives the enemy the opportunity to come and snatch God's word away from us. And so instead of communing with God's word, instead of receiving God's word, it actually falls on us, but then the pollutants pull it away because it's the stuff we do to ourselves. It's sin. And the second kind of thing is the stuff that others have done to us. And those are sin too, but it's the sin of other people. That's and it creates in us wounds and hurt and it creates traumas in us. And so what we need to do in the first scenario where we're sinning is we need to repent and we need to confess. In the second scenario, when someone's done something to us, we need to forgive. And this actually gets rid of pollutants in our heart, in our soil, if you will, because we want to live a listening in surrender. We want to be surrendered to God. Some people might say, well, Pastor Scott, God just never speaks to me. I know maybe he speaks to other people, doesn't speak to me. Well, here's the thing. God speaks to everybody. I really believe that. But for a lot of us, there's just a lot of pollutants. There's a lot of noise clicking around. And James 1:21 says this. It says, get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the message God has placed in your hearts. For it is strong enough to save your soul. Now, you know, for a lot of us, there's pollutants. Now, it's interesting because you're there and I'm here. But if I put my hand right about here, you can't really see my face anymore. But what's really interesting is that I'm still here and I'm still talking. You just can't see me. So let me say it like this. I'm unchanged. I haven't changed at all. I'm still here. I'm still smiling. I'm still talking to you. I haven't changed at all, but you can't see me anymore because there's something blocking. There's a pollutant in the way. So what we need to do is we actually know that God is still speaking and God is still present and God's still available to us. He's unchanging. He's still there. But for many of us, we have something that's blocking our perspective of him. And so what we need to do is we need to repent. We need to confess. We need to forgive. We need to ask God to help us remove the hand that's blocking our vision of him so we can sense being loved by him again. We can sense experiencing him again. We can experience the liberation by his scripture again. We can experience those elements that we talked about the last 2 weeks because we get rid of the pollutants. We can get past our past. So we just need to ask God. Again, we need to pray. We need to repent. We need to confess. We need to forgive. Because the first kind of soil is the polluted heart. The second kind here in this parable that Jesus tells his disciples is, that he explains to his disciples is the distracted heart. And the distracted heart. And, you know, distractions that keep us from listening and surrender to God's spirit, the distractions are usually not bad things. Now, they can be bad things, but a really good distraction usually isn't a bad thing because we know that's a distraction. The really good distractions are the really good things. The really good distractions are the things that are good, that are worth our time and worth our energy, but they're good, but they're not the greatest. They're good, but they're not great. And when good things get in the way of God things, we have a problem. You know, last night I was actually, we went and watched the Michigan State game against Maryland, which we won't talk about that. We're having a rough year. You could pray for us. But in a football sense, we got whooped last night. And here's the thing. I went with my family to BW3, so Buffalo Wild Wings in East Lansing. And it was funny because at one point, you know, there's TVs everywhere. I mean, there's just TVs everywhere. There's people everywhere. You know, it's kind of crazy in there. And at one point I said, hey, Erica. And I said, hey, Erica. And earlier in the night, she had talked to me like two different times. We had a kid sitting in between us and we had kids on the other side of the table. We were trying to talk to each other. And as she was talking to me, I couldn't hear her. I kept having to ask her, can you say that again? And then I was trying to talk to her. I was like, hey, Erica. And she couldn't hear me. And the thing is that I was talking and she was talking, but there were so many other voices and there was so much other noise that even though we were talking in a way that without distractions, we would have been able to hear each other. But with all the distractions in the room, it was literally like I couldn't make out what she was saying. Sometimes there's too much other noise in our world. And even though God is speaking, and even though we're trying to listen, we're distracted. Luke 8:13 said this, said the rocky soil, Jesus is breaking down the parable. He says the rocky soil represents those who hear the message with joy. But like young plants in such soil, their roots don't go very deep. They believe for a while, but they wilt when the hot winds of testing blow. So again, they're not snatched away like the first kind, the polluted heart, but they're still there. When something wilts, it's still there. It's still rooted, but it's actually not getting the nutrients that it needs. The sun comes and beats down on it, and it doesn't have what it needs to sustain the storm, to sustain the winds, the hot winds of testing. So it's still there, but it's not thriving. And when we are distracted, we allow the immediate to take over the important. That's what distractions are. When the immediate takes over the important, when the good things take over the God things. You know, I was having a boxer conversation with a friend of mine about a year or two ago. Sometimes I'm bad with timelines. I don't remember exactly when it was. And, you know, we were like talking back and forth. Boxer's this little app where you can send audio messages back and forth to each other. And we were talking and we would always say to each other like, oh man, like we should get together. And then we'd be like, oh, I'm so busy. And you know, I said that. And one time I said on the Voxer, I said, hey, we should stop saying we're so busy. I said, we had 24 hours a day, just like everybody else does. There's no difference between your time and my time and anybody else's time. We all got 24 hours in a day. So we should stop saying I'm so busy. And we should actually just be honest with ourselves and just say, I'm choosing to invest my time elsewhere. And you know, that might sound harsh to you listening, but the reality is it was an honest moment between our friendship because for both of us, really what we were saying is not, oh, I'm so busy. What we were really saying is we're prioritizing our time elsewhere. And that actually allowed us the freedom to step back and to actually look at that and be clear about it. And I want to just give you that kind of honest, like gut level, honest permission in your life to step back and to say, man, I need to set the priorities in my life before I spend the resources. Whether that's your finances that God has entrusted to you, whether that is your time, whether that's your calendar book or your checkbook. We don't really use checkbooks anymore, but what's important? Because what's most important is what you do for you use your time there first. What's most important, use your finances there first. And so I remember reading this quote years ago. It said, one could know the condition of people's lives by peering into two books, their checkbook and their date book. Now, again, it's an old quote, so I understand that the actual literal way we spend money and keep time, you know, I have a Google calendar now, but it's a sobering idea that you can know the condition of someone's life by looking at two books, their date book and their checkbook. How we spend our time and money, and back to the quote here, how we spend our time and money indicates which relationships, ideas, and activities we value most. Now, there's no condemnation to this. That's not the point of what I'm sharing. I'm just discussing a principle for how we live our lives and how we spend our resources. And the idea that so many of us live distracted. And when we're trying to hear God's voice, you guys, we can be so distracted. It's like being at BW3s. God is speaking, but we just can't hear it. Because usually we're not distracted by really gross sin, like overbearing sin. It's usually that we're invited to attractive distractions. Luke 10, 39 and 40 says this. It says, talking about a parable. Well, it's not a parable. It's a story that Jesus tells about two sisters. And it says this in Luke 10, 39 through 40. I'm going to read this in the Amplified translation. It says, and she had a sister named Mary, who seated herself at the Lord's feet and was listening to her teaching. But Martha, overly occupied and too busy, was distracted with much serving. Now, this is a story about Mary and Martha in the Bible. And we always give Martha a really hard time because she's distracted. And Mary's at the feet of Jesus, you know, listening, doing the right thing. And Martha's really distracted. And, you know, and there's some truth to that. And, you know, I could go and teach on this whole thing. You can go read the story in Luke 10, but Jesus shows up to a house and there's two sisters in the house, one sitting at his feet listening, that's Mary. And Martha is actually tending to all of the needs of hosting Jesus. She's trying to make food and she's busying herself with all the distractions. Again, not bad things, good things, right? We're hosting Jesus. We need to clean up the house. We need to make the food. These are good distractions, not bad ones. But Jesus says to them, eventually, he says, Martha, Martha, he said, you're busy with much distraction. He says, Mary's chosen the best. If you go into the original language of that text, it says, Mary has chosen the highest priority thing, to sit and to listen. And that won't be taken away from her. Now, here's what I want you to see. Jesus is in the same house. Jesus is saying the same things. But two people are having entirely different experiences. And the only difference really is how they position themselves. One is sitting, listening in surrender, and one is distracted, busily moving about the house. One's listening, one's distracted. We can become distracted with amazing things, but if they're not the most important things, then they're simply distractions. So you say, Scott, I want to learn to pray. I want to listen and surrender. I want to feel closer to God. Listen, don't over-spiritualize it. Get your calendar and schedule your prayer time. It's gut-level honesty, right? It's the Voxer moment where it's like, well, I'm so busy. We're not so busy. We're just choosing to prioritize our time elsewhere. So Jesus says, you know, there's different kinds of soil. There's a polluted heart. There's a distracted heart. The third kind of soil is the immature heart. Luke 8:14, it says, the seed that fell among weeds stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked out by life's worries, riches, pleasures, and they don't mature. They don't mature. They don't grow up. So what does a weed speak to? A weed speaks to neglect, right? A weed speaks to it grew up in the bed, in the flower bed, and it didn't get pulled. A weed speaks to not cultivating what's already there. And there's a difference between being saved in God's kingdom and actually becoming mature in God's kingdom. You know, years ago, I was having a conversation with Erica on a date night. We went out and we were talking about our kids. And at the time, I can't remember if it was which one of our kids it was, but one of them was like a baby. And they would kind of like make noises, you know, when they're little and babies, and they would kind of maybe get out a word here or there or whatever. And we got talking, and I had this kind of revelation where I said to Erica, I said, you know, it's interesting because as a dad, I have the capacity and capability to speak to them better than what they're able to hear. I can communicate better than what they're able to receive. And I started thinking about that, and I was like, as our kids grow and as our kids have grown, I can actually talk to them in ways that I couldn't talk to them when they were babies. I'm the same communicator. I can use the same words, but it has to do with how mature they are. And for some of us, if we're dissatisfied with the level of conversation that we're having with God, maybe it's not that he needs to change or speak differently. Maybe it's that we need to mature a little bit because he's capable of speaking at a level that we're not capable of hearing yet. Hebrews 12:1-2, it says this, since we're surrounded by so many examples of faith, we must get rid of everything that slows us down, especially sin that distracts us. We talked about that earlier. We must run the race that lies ahead of us and never give up. We must focus on Jesus. And so here's the deal, you guys, is sometimes we just need to grow up. We need to mature. And I love this passage of scripture because it says we are surrounded. And then it says we must get rid of. And then it says that the sin that slows us down, that distracts us, we must run. Ahead of us, we must focus on Jesus. And there's this idea of maturity where we actually covenant with each other in the realm of the church, that we're committed to each other, that we need each other, that we need community, that we need other people. And sometimes the tangible next step of maturing is to choose to be part of a Christian community. And sometimes it's different ways of being part of that Christian community. Sometimes it's with presence. Sometimes it's with engaging the Bible together and learning. And sometimes it's reading the Bible together, soaping. Sometimes it's 21 days of prayer for us together, you guys. Sometimes it's giving and partnering your finances with a house of believers, with a community of faith. Sometimes it's serving. I don't know what it is for you, but some of us feel stuck and it's like, we just need to mature. And maybe we need to mature in community. Maybe we need to mature in something in our own life. But Pastor Chris Hodges says it like this, maturity comes when we stop making excuses and we start making changes. And I want to challenge you that sometimes we need to mature because if we're trying to listen and surrender, many times God is capable of speaking to us in ways that we're not yet capable of hearing. And that leads me to number four. The soil says that in Luke 8:15, it says, but the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by it, by persevering, produce a crop. That is the prepared heart. I'll call that the surrendered heart. The surrendered heart, you guys. That is the fourth kind of soil. It's a soil that receives God's word. And as it receives God's word, it allows the word to go down and it retains that seed. It retains that word. And then it perseveres to produce a crop. It surrenders to God's word. The soil, let me say it this way, the soil can do what the soil was made to do. And hey, for you and I as Christians, listening and surrender is what we're actually made to do. To walk and to talk with God in the cool of the day is what Adam and Eve did in the garden before the fall. You know, this is what we were made to do. And we hear God's voice best in the right environment. And that environment is a heart that is listening in a posture of surrender, listening in surrender. And I want to close us with a last idea about how our hearts can be surrendered and prepared. In the Bible, there's this concept of idols. And it's interesting because it's actually a really sophisticated concept when you get into it. And so often, because we're modern people, we picture idol worship as something that people did way back in the day. They carved these little wooden figurines and they worshiped them. They worshiped idols. And that was part of idol worship. But idol worship in a biblical sense is so much deeper than that. Idol worship in the Bible actually talks about the things that we run to for comfort. the things that we run to for pleasure, the things that we run to for power, the things that we run to for control, the things that we go to when we are medicating our pain. Those in the Bible are the things that the Bible calls idols. An idol is anything that you place above God in regards to your heart, to your mind. That's why the first commandment says, basically, have no other gods before me. Right? An idol is having a god, and even if it's not a wooden figurine, maybe it's success. Maybe it's a guy or a girl. Maybe it's a certain thing you want to accomplish. Maybe it's a dream that you carry. There's so many idols. Tim Keller says it like this: the human heart is an idol factory. We are so good at creating idols. And if we're going to have hearts that are listening in surrender, we're going to have to do an ongoing way, because the Bible says here that the prepared heart, the surrendered heart, it perseveres to produce a crop. And if we're going to keep weeds out, and we're going to keep distractions out, and we're going to mature in our soil, you guys, we're going to have to deal with our idols. And as we talk about listening and surrender, I want to talk to you about the surrender part, the heart of surrender. Tim Keller says this: the Bible uses three basic metaphors to talk about people who relate to the idols of their hearts. He says they love idols, they trust idols, and they obey idols. They love, trust, and obey. And really, when we talk about listening and surrender, that's what we want to be doing with God. But we find ourselves, and if we're honest, I find myself loving, trusting, and obeying so many things other than God. And we have to get rid of the idols. He continues on. He says, nobody but God can give our soul. No one or nothing can give our soul all that it needs. This cosmic disappointment and disillusionment is there in all of life. And if we're honest, I'm going to pause here for a second. If we're honest, don't you feel that? And don't I feel that? We feel that cosmic disappointment and disillusionment in every area of our lives. And he's going to go on to tell us that it's because we're actually worshiping idols. I'll continue on here. It says, but we especially feel it, that disillusionment, that disappointment in the things in which we set our hopes upon. When you finally realize this, there are four things that you can do. One, you can blame the things that are disappointing you and try to move on to better things. He says that's the way of continued idolatry. That's the first way. He says, two, you can blame yourself and beat yourself up. He says that's the way of self-loathing and shame. Three, you can blame the world. That's how you get hard and cynical and empty. Or four, you can reorient the entire focus of your life onto God. This is how you get more of Christ. And what I want to remind us is that as the human heart is an idol factory, you guys, we have to constantly, if we're going to have prepared hearts and surrendered hearts, we've got to be knocking the idols off of our heart and putting Jesus back at the right place where he belongs. I want to share this illustration. I'm going to share a couple more thoughts with you, and we're going to close, but I read this thing a couple years ago. It said, are we hungry or are we in need of nutrients? And those two things sound really similar, but I'm going to read this to you. It says, it's one thing to know that we need nutrients for our body when we have not eaten in 24 hours. It says, but it's another thing to know that we need nutrients for our body after we've just washed down a bag of potato chips with a 32-ounce soda. We're not likely to eat food we really need after satiating our appetite with junk. If we don't feel hungry, we won't eat, especially the kind of food we need most. The same thing is true of spiritual nutrition. Here's the deal. If we're not eating at all, it's easy for us to say, wow, I'm empty, I'm dissatisfied, I'm disillusioned, I need God. But when we're actually eating junk, it's so easy to actually be full and to not eat the nutrients we actually need because we filled ourselves up on other things. That's idol worship. That's chasing things and putting things in God's place that don't belong there. It's actually trying to satiate our hunger with a big bag of chips and a 32-ounce soda. And yes, we get full, but we're actually not fulfilled. Yes, we eat something, but we're actually not receiving nutrients. And he continues on, Tim Keller, back to the quote, if you want God's grace, all you need is need. All you need is nothing. But that kind of spiritual humility is hard to muster. We come to God saying, look at all that I've done, or maybe look at all that I've suffered. God, however, wants us to look simply to him. And I want to remind you today that as we talk about the third element, listening in surrender, what we need most is an empty throne on our heart and a surrendered posture to listen to God. Psalm 62:1 says, "My soul finds rest in God alone. No other idols, no chips and pop, nothing else to come in and to satiate our spiritual hunger. We say, God, we need you. God, we surrender to you. God, I need to hear your voice. God, I listen to you. My soul finds rest in God alone. My satisfaction comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken." Because when we're surrendered to God, it's a portal to something greater. It's like a horse being broken by a good master. When we listen and surrender, we enter into new purpose and new destiny, new directives. We experience a different kind of life. And surrender can be good or bad. It depends on the object of which you're surrendering to. And I'm here to remind you that God is the only one worthy of our surrender, worthy of our worship, worthy of our love, our trust, and worthy of us to obey. Because the causative factor of supernatural living is daily walking with the Holy Spirit in a posture of prayerful surrender. We are to live lives listening in surrender. Let me pray for us. Father, I thank you for this morning, and I thank you, God, for this idea that we surrender our lives to you. God, right now we lay down every idol. God, everything that would stand between you and I. God, every hand that blocks your face, every distraction, God, every sin, every trauma that's come. God, anything that would try to get into the soil to dissuade or distract, God, even if they're good things. God, any weeds that would try to crop up, God, we pull them out. God, we want to be attentive to the things, God, that are in our life. And God, we come and we ask, God, that you would sit on the throne of our hearts this morning. God, we want to listen to your training. We want to listen to your leading. God, we know, God, the Holy Spirit, you live on the inside of us. You lead us and guide us. We want to quiet the distractions so that we can listen in surrender. So this morning we do. We surrender our lives, God. Every piece and every part. And for every one of us, that looks a little bit different. And that step of action with you this morning, that conversation we need to have with you is going to look a little bit different. But God, right now we begin to have them with you. And God, maybe we've already been having them with you, but God, we continue to have them with you. And God, as we move into a time of worship, God, we continue these conversations about the places in our own life, God, where we need to take an idol off the throne of our heart. And God, we need to surrender to you and put you there, the one place that you deserve. God, the place that only you will satisfy. And God, we come and we ask you to sit there on the throne of our heart this morning. God, we're listening in surrender. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to go into a time of worship. If you've never started a relationship with Jesus before, you've never made that initial surrender, you can pray this with me. Just say, Jesus, I surrender my life to you. Come in and have my heart. Sit on the throne. Take up residence on the inside of me. I confess my sin to you. God, I confess that Jesus, I believe, is the Son of God, that he died for my sin to bring me back into right relationship with you. And God, I receive your grace right now. God, come in and have every part of me. I declare you're my Lord and my Savior. Come teach me and train me. God, I surrender to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You guys, let's go into a time of worship and let's continue this conversation with him about the places where we need to listen and surrender.